Hello, amazing parents and caretakers, and welcome to the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. I'm your family empowerment coach, Celia Kibler. I'm a mom of a blended family of five kids. I'm a grandma of nine kids, an author, a teacher, a speaker, and a consultant with over 40 years of training and real-life parenting experience. I'm here to offer you practical, doable tips, strategies, and techniques that will pump up your parenting skills and create peace, love, and laughter throughout your family. In addition, I'll be interviewing some great humans that are on a mission to make your life a better, happier, and healthier life. So let's not waste any time and get started with the next episode of the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. Thanks for listening. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. Today, we're talking about childhood skin conditions, skin care, all those things that you talk about and you don't know how to help, like eczema and rashes and things that parents deal with all the time and often don't get help for. They struggle with it. They don't know who to talk to. They talk to people who are supposedly doctors that are supposed to help them, and they don't get any help. So today I have brought on Sheila McGinnis, and Sheila is an associate professor of dermatology and pediatrics and the president of the Society for Pediatric Dermatology. So she knows. She knows what we're talking about. She knows how to help you. So welcome, Sheila. I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, thank you, Celia. It's great to be here.
So would you please share with everybody, first share if, you know, I'm sure parents are writing down your name. How do they get in touch with you? Because I know I have clients that don't have a person to reach out to for, you know, the issues that their kids are having. How do they reach out to you? And then if you would also go into what made you go into this field of work.
Thank you, Celia. So I think you're right. I believe that parents still don't really even know that pediatric dermatology is a subspecialty of medicine and a subspecialty of dermatology. So I'm a pediatric dermatologist, and over the last 5 years, I've gotten a little bit more active on social media. So that's a great place for parents to find me because I'm really interested in helping to broaden education and resources when it comes to skin disease in children for parents. So on Instagram, you can find me at dr.sheila.m. And on TikTok, Dr. Sheila. And my name is spelled a little bit differently. It's the Irish spelling. It's Sheila with a G-H at the end.
That is, I'm glad you emphasized that because I was about to say the same thing. And so dr.sheila.m.
Mm-hmm. That's right, on Instagram.
So follow her on Instagram. I know you do a lot of live and video trainings to help parents become more knowledgeable about pediatric skin issues. Right.
I do, Celia. And part of that is because, you know, pediatric dermatology is a really small subspecialty. In fact, there are only about 400 of us in the entire country. Wow. So we really need to be a lot better at sharing our resources, both with our colleagues in pediatrics and family medicine, and with parents and families just across the board. So that education piece has been something I've been working on for the past several years.
And that sounds like exactly why parents can't find answers, because I'm assuming pediatric dermatology is different from adult dermatology. And if you just go to an adult dermatologist, I am assuming that is why a lot of parents aren't finding results.
I think you're right. You know, there's a reason that in pediatric dermatology, we do an entire year of fellowship training after our dermatology residency to learn more about how skin disease shows up in children, because it really does look very different if you have, say, psoriasis or eczema in an adult versus how it shows up in a little baby. It's different. And you need that expert training to really be able to pick up on those subtleties and differences.
Say one of our listeners has a child or more than one with eczema, And I know eczema is a hard thing for kids. They're scratching, they're bleeding, they're, you know, it's keeping them up at night, it's making them irritable. You can just imagine a little kid who doesn't really understand. As an adult, it irritates us, but we have a better understanding of, okay, we can't scratch, you know, we need to treat it a certain way. How do you help parents with situations like that?
So eczema is one of the most common things I see in practice. I'm going to even say that like 30 to 40% of the patients that come in have eczema or atopic dermatitis. And those terms are used interchangeably for the most part. And I would say there's great hope for families who are struggling with children who have eczema, because we know more about what causes eczema and how to treat it. And we have more tools in our toolbox for how to treat it than we ever did before. So for example, one of the first and most simple things I'll do when I'm seeing a patient with atopic dermatitis is really talk to the family about what is happening. A lot of families come in and they might have some preconceived notions that maybe it's an allergy or something from the immune system showing up on the skin. But when I actually sit down and talk to them about what is happening, everything that I'm asking them to do to treat the eczema starts to make sense. So we've learned that eczema is primarily caused by a skin barrier problem. It's not an immune problem coming out on the skin, but it's the fact that your skin, when you have atopic dermatitis, is not able to hold the water in as properly as it would if you had a normal skin barrier. So it's a kind of a skin barrier defect. There's a little protein called filaggrin in the top layer of your skin that can be missing or deficient when you have eczema. And understanding that filaggrin's job is to kind of hold water in and balance the pH of the skin is really important, because then you can start to talk to families, okay, well, how do we optimize our skin barrier if, you know, if your baby's not holding on to all the water that they need? And part of it is actually very simple, just the act of bathing and soaking. And then occluding the water in the skin with like a thick, bland, hypoallergenic moisturizer. Even plain petroleum jelly is a great way to do that kind of soak and smear. That's one of my mantras, especially for me living in Minneapolis in the winter. That soak and smear is a great way to start soothing the skin barrier, trapping water in. And even that small change can make a big difference to the skin barrier of little babies and kids.
And is it the same for like a teenager, for an adult? Do they have that? Does eczema kind of affect the skin in the same way, or is it different for, you know, younger kids?
Well, ultimately, the cause is the same. You know, it's a skin barrier defect, but over time, what's happening is that the skin isn't able to keep out the allergens and bacteria in the same way that it would if the skin barrier was normal. And so we kind of have this assault of this immune system going on through the skin, where bacteria and allergens and antigens are presenting themselves to your immune system through your skin, leading downstream to inflammation. So ultimately, it is really a systemic disease, and there's a link between all of the allergic diseases in this way. So basically, the cause is the same, but it starts to show up differently depending on age. In babies, the areas that become most affected with that red, weepy, inflamed skin are the cheeks, the extensors. And then over time, as scratching becomes more localized, the flexures, the creases of the arms, the backs of the knees, the neck, the face become more affected. And then in adulthood, hands and face definitely can be predominant. So the areas that are affected can change a little bit over time, but the primary skin barrier defect remains the same.
Should a parent be afraid to wash those areas? I know they take baths, but I know like some parents will be like afraid to put soap on it, or, you know, soap on those splotchy areas.
The inflamed skin. Yeah, I think it can be scary. It's scary for parents. Of course, you're worried that it's going to sting or burn or hurt somebody. And for the most part, that soak and smear, that primary thing that we start with, it won't hurt. And it's fine to bathe daily and get that, you know, bland emollient on head to toe. But in terms of soap, I would say limit the soap because there's a wide spectrum of cleansers and baby soaps out there, and not all of them are fabulous. I'll just say that. And just because it's marketed to baby doesn't mean that it's perfect for baby skin. So sometimes we'll say limit the soap, just use it when you need it on areas like the diaper area or areas that are very dirty or for washing the scalp. And make sure you use a cleanser that is fragrance-free, essential oil-free, and makes a claim of hypoallergenicity. That's important.
So tell me more about essential oils, because you hear that use a lot and people tend to use it on babies because they think it's natural and it's a good source, you know, for moisturizing and softening the skin.
I know. And if there's one thing that I really hope parents can take away from our discussion today, Celia, is that when it comes to baby skin and kids' skin in general, natural does not always mean better. In fact, I think that goes for any skincare product. You know, after all, poison ivy is a natural botanical, but holy cow, it is not good for your skin. So in terms of essential oils, like those are very concentrated botanicals. And not only if you apply them directly to the skin, could they cause a very extreme irritant reaction, almost looking like a burn, but over time, your skin becomes sensitized to that compound and that botanical, and then you can become allergic and have a contact allergy to an essential oil. And unfortunately, contact dermatitis allergies are lifelong. So everything we're putting on our tender baby skin is thinner and more prone to absorption and all of those things, you know, we might be setting that child up to have a lifelong allergy. So that's why keeping things simple and hypoallergenic and fragrance-free is really recommended. Essential oils have biologic properties that we still don't know, and some have even reported to have endocrine disruption properties. So it's really best to stay away from that and not be spraying essential oils around, you know, where a baby is sleeping, and certainly not applying them to the skin.
That's good information, because you often hear the opposite, and you wouldn't even add them to the bathtub.
Like I wouldn't. Just, nope. I would like, not. In
just
fact,
water.
Nope. A recent study from one of my colleagues, Jeff Yu, at Harvard, really does demonstrate that there is a rise in contact allergy to lavender in children under the age of 5. And I don't think that should surprise any of us, because lavender essential oil is in just about every baby care product, because as you mentioned, it's really touted as being relaxing or calming in some way. But truthfully, we really shouldn't be, you know, rubbing in it really concentrated fragrance or essential oils into newborn baby skin, period.
Yeah, that's great advice. What about oatmeal? Hi, parents. I'd like to take a break from this podcast to really tell you about my life's mission. I'd like to introduce you to the Day of Calm Foundation, a nonprofit 501c3 corporation where tranquility meets transformation. We believe in a world where unresolved anger and rage have no place, especially when it comes to the safety of our children. Our mission is clear: to bring an end to needless violence against the youngest members of our society through dedicated efforts with parents, schools, and community outreach. We strive to soothe the human core and foster a culture of calm. This Giving Tuesday and throughout the year, I invite you to join us in this vital cause. Your support will be the cornerstone of creating generations of calmer, happier adults. Together, we can build a future where every child grows up in an environment free from unnecessary aggression. Please visit our website, dayofcalm.org. Donate and be a part of this movement towards the Day of Calm. Mark your calendars for April 5th when we celebrate the International Day of Calm and bring together speakers from around the world that help build your calm in all areas of your life during our annual summit. I strongly believe, and I hope you do too, that a peaceful world begins with intention, personal responsibility, and a tranquil heart. please join us by going to dayofcalm.org. Now back to our podcast.
And, you know, I actually am fine with colloidal oatmeal. I don't think that it causes any harm. There are lots of different ways to do an oatmeal bath. It has been shown to help soothe the skin barrier. But ultimately, you know, if you were to study children with eczema in terms of taking an oatmeal bath or applying a good bland moisturizer head to toe, the moisturizer is going to win every single time. So it can be something that people do in conjunction with, you know, that daily skincare regimen, but it's not going to replace a really good soak and smear regimen.
That's good advice. Because I know when I was little, I used to have rashes all over my legs. And it was like in that oatmeal bath, I would go, you know, that was the advice at the time. Or move to a warmer climate. That actually was really the advice, but it was like, well, that's not an option.
So, yes, more humidity is good for the skin.
Yes. So the other thing I wanted to ask you about is, so eczema shows in different ways, in different ages. Is that the same with like acne and other skin conditions?
Yes, surely it is. Uh-huh. So if you, acne across the spectrum, we always talk about baby acne. Baby acne in a newborn is really not true acne. It's really in that 6-week period where the infant is reacting to a yeast species on the skin called Malassezia. And that shows up as little red papules and sometimes little pustules, scaling in the eyebrows or on the scalp. And that's really seborrheic dermatitis in infancy and not true baby acne. And then in, you know, later on in infancy and in the toddler years, you can have a little bit of true acne. And when I talk about true acne, what you're looking to see is actual blackheads. If you see real blackheads or comedones, as we call them, that really is an indication of true acne. And in the toddler years, it can be normal, but certainly it's not normal in mid-childhood. So in children who are, you know, 3 or 4 all the way up until 7 or 8, you really shouldn't be having acne. And if you do notice actual blackheads or inflammatory acne in that age group, it can be a sign that there is something a little bit off with respect to hormone regulation. And it can be a sign of premature development or premature adrenarche. And so it needs to be, you know, looked at. And, you know, the way we do that is we sometimes will x-ray the hand for a bone age and see if they're developing too quickly, and maybe even get our friends in pediatric endocrinology involved if there is some kind of hormonal dysregulation there.
Our skin is our biggest organ in the body. What should we be doing as parents to be proactive to take care of our children's skin, that even if they're not having any issues, like, so regular care for the skin for children?
I kind of like to divide it up into age groups a little bit, Celia. So children under 2, infants and babies, where their skin is really not mature, it's still a little bit thinner, more prone to absorption and, of course, irritation. And their body surface area is a lot bigger than yours and mine with respect to weight. So they're going to absorb a lot more of potential ingredients or chemicals that come into contact with their skin than older children, teens, and adults. So for children under 2, I think it's really important for parents to just be good label readers. There are certain things that I think, you know, should be avoided in this age group, one of which we've already talked about, and that is fragrance. So fragrance is basically the name put on the bottle, but when you see that designation of fragrance, you actually don't know what's in there, because the fragrance industry is completely unregulated in the United States, and there could be literally 100-200 compounds that make up that fragrance, but companies don't have to disclose the entire ingredient list because it's considered a trade secret. So when you see fragrance, you really should run the other way, because you truly don't know what's in it. The same is true in this age group for botanical extracts. We touched on that a little bit. Natural is not always better. These really concentrated plant extracts can be irritants. They can cause allergies. So I would, you know, stay away from them. Really, those the things that you should do in this age group when parents are reading labels is really look for fragrance-free, essential oil-free, and hypoallergenic. That's the best we can do, honestly, with skincare for babies. And I'm really a fan in this age group too of ointments. So ointments are like the thick, greasy, Vaseline-y compounds, and a cream is like white and a little bit thinner. And then lotions are like from pumps where it's quite thin and there's often alcohol in there. And when we're talking about supporting the skin barrier for babies, you really want to pick something that's a little bit more thick and occlusive. So a cream or preferably even an ointment that's greasy. Ointments don't tend to have added preservatives or alcohols in them. So they tend to do really well with infant skin and can even be put on open inflamed skin in those with eczema without causing stinging or burning.
Wow. And like you mentioned before, even Vaseline, I know, is a great protectant.
It is. Yeah, Vaseline, it's hard to beat, I have to say.
I mean, I think when my kids were little, that's what I used. I didn't use a diaper cream. I mean, we had pretty limited diaper things back then. But I always used Vaseline. Didn't get rashes. They didn't get diaper rashes.
Vaseline is a perfect barrier ointment for everything. It's like the multi-purpose, all-purpose ointment for babies. So having that in the diaper bag for, you know, diaper barrier. And then if there is a rash, it's totally safe to put Vaseline on there. Drool rash, you know, nooks and crannies, cuts and scrapes. I mean, it really can do anything. And I like that you mentioned diaper cream because I think that's an important point to bring up. There, when you go to Target and you look at that line of like all these products on the shelf, it can be pretty overwhelming and confusing for parents. Like, what's good? What should I buy? And when you actually do a deep dive into ingredients, you'll find that a lot of diaper creams have fragrance or talc or, you know, essential oils or known allergens like balsam of Peru for, you know, and what we're doing when we apply these products in the diaper is we're leaving it on the skin and then occluding it with the diaper. So we're enhancing penetration potentially of these allergens or, you know, chemicals that can be irritating. So keeping things simple in the diaper area is really important. And so thinking about a plain either zinc oxide is good as a barrier, but you make sure that there's not a ton of extra things in your zinc oxide, you know, cream or ointment, like, you know, preservatives or fragrances, or just a plain barrier ointment. Those are really my two go-tos for diaper.
Okay. Now I'm going to ask you two other questions that came to my mind. One is suntan lotion, you know, suntan lotion. So
sunscreen, I think you sunscreen. Mean. Celia. Yeah. We don't talk about sun tanning anymore. No.
Sunscreen. So when a parent is looking for sunscreen, follow the same rules, you know, and then there's all the levels. There's the 50, then that there's like ridiculous levels now. I'm not sure how long kids are out in the sun.
Oh my goodness, Celia. Sunscreen is a whole can of worms to talk about. I think we could literally, oh my gosh, it's a whole other podcast, but let me see if I can break down some simple things for our listeners today. Okay. So the sunscreen story is pretty similar in terms of age-based recommendations. So the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that children 6 months and up be protected from the sun. They can use a sunscreen product, you know, after 6 months of age. But it's important to start the conversation by saying that sun protection is so much more than just applying a sunscreen, okay? It's using a hat, protective clothing, seeking shade, looking at the UV index on your phone, on the weather app to see, you know, if the UV index is 3 or above, you need full protection. So all of those things, sunglasses, really important. And I think any mom listening to this podcast will identify with the fact that it's much easier to cover your toddler up than to rub zinc oxide sunscreen all over a wiggly little toddler who hates it, you know, every couple of hours. So absolutely, that protective aspect is really important. Next, let's talk about ingredients and sunscreens. So the American Academy of Dermatology, as well as the FDA, have recommended that mineral sunscreens are generally recommended as safe and effective. So by mineral sunscreens, when you look at your sunscreen box, flip it over, and you should see a little area that says active ingredients. And what you want to see in there, especially in children and babies, is that the active ingredient is a mineral-based sunscreen. So zinc oxide or titanium dioxide. Those are the only two ingredients you want to see in that active ingredient box. And this is because, we'll get into the weeds just a little bit here. In 2019, there were a couple of industry, you know, FDA-sponsored studies that looked at chemical sunscreen ingredients that we've all been using in this country for many, many years. And those include ones that have been really commonly used in many different formulations and that are great sunscreens. They really are. They protect us from skin cancer. They're wonderful at what they do. But what the study showed is that even after one application, the most common five or six of these chemicals are rapidly absorbed into the bloodstream. So although we don't really know what that means, it doesn't mean they're not safe by any means. And I just want to be very clear about the fact that any sunscreen, whether it's chemical or mineral, is better than nothing when it comes to your skin and preventing skin cancers, which in the case of melanoma can be deadly. So any sunscreen is better than nothing. But for discerning parents out there who want to maybe be sure about what they're applying, that you know, it would be less likely to be absorbed and can just sit right on the skin, those would be the mineral-based sunscreens. So zinc and titanium only. And so there's lots of preparations that are really great ones for kids and babies out there. I love the sticks. I think stick sunscreens are wonderful. You're looking for about 20% zinc oxide in some of those. And again, I'm a stickler for the fragrance-free hypoallergenic formulations. I think those are just the easiest and safest. You won't get into trouble in the vast majority of cases if you kind of stick with that.
I love it. Don't not take your children outside, but be smart when you do.
Exactly. Everyone wants to have fun outside and, you know, have a, you know, great, active, healthy lifestyle. Just, you know, be smart, cover up, don't get a burn, and really, you know, don't get too many tans either, because even a tan is a sign of sun damage.
And hydrate. You know, a lot of parents will be like, well, we're not going to go outside. I just talked to one of my clients yesterday and they're like, well, we're not going to go outside today because it's raining. And I'm like, take them outside. Just wear, you know, wear proper clothes. People that live in areas where it snows all the time, or it's freezing cold, or it's raining, they don't not take their children outside.
Like Minneapolis, like where we are here in Minneapolis. When it's freezing, we're out there, you know, get the snow pants on. Absolutely. Enjoy the outdoors. We're meant to.
Yes. And I think it's very good for your skin if you protect it. Okay. So last question on the, you know, proactive approach. And that's kids in sports. So, you know, there's chafing, there's all the other issues. They wear all these interesting clothes that are very nylon and supposedly wicking. And I don't know if they really are that, but they say they are. And so what is your opinion on all that?
So kids in sports and healthy lifestyle is such an exciting area. And actually, Celia, it's one of the reasons that 4 years ago, I co-founded my company Strike Club with three other moms who also had boys. I have two tween boys right now. So I'm right in that area that you're talking about with, we're starting to get into, you know, a little bit of body odor, a little bit of hygiene issues, you know, the gym bag isn't so, you know, clean any longer. So all of these changes and hormonal shifts and things that are happening, you know, you still need to talk with your tween and teen and talk with them about good skincare and hygiene. And it's the right time to start getting into those healthy habits. And you can shower every day. You know, your teen can shower every day. Just make sure that the cleanser is something that's gentle, not too harsh. There's a lot of great cleansers on the market now, whether it be like a really gentle bar soap, like something unscented, hypoallergenic, or in the case of kids in sports, if they tend to have, you know, bumps or little areas of chafing or slight skin infection or just too much bacteria on the skin, using a cleanser that has a little bit of antimicrobial activity is a really great idea. And that's what we have formulated for Strike Club. We include sodium hypochlorite in our cleanser, but a benzoyl peroxide type cleanser can do the same thing. Now, you don't have to use something like that every day, but at least it's a tool in your toolbox so that your child's skin is getting a little bit of that, you know, antimicrobial cleansing from time to time. It would also help with body odor if you use it in the armpits, you know, et cetera. But those are really important first steps. And then the power of moisturizing doesn't end in the childhood years. You know, that idea of locking in moisture, soothing the skin barrier, even in the tween and teen years, really important. So a good hypoallergenic moisturizer, you could certainly use a cream-based one or a lotion in the case of children who don't have super sensitive skin. But that idea of bathing and moisturizing to keep the skin barrier really healthy is always a good habit to get into.
Excellent. So would you touch a little bit on the Strike Club and what it is and what the products that are offered, right?
Yes. So about 4 years ago, a good friend of mine came to me after she had struggled, you know, going down the aisles at Target looking for skincare for her teen boy and coming up empty, really just seeing on the shelves things that had been really formulated and marketed for girls, like pink fruity things or, you know, heavily scented, or definitely the marketing was quite feminine. Or on the shelf really was just, you know, medicinal type things for acne that, I mean, I had used in the 80s, 90s, right? So we really saw a need there to innovate and make something new. And as a pediatric dermatologist and mom of two boys, I kind of knew exactly how I wanted the products to be formulated and how I wanted them to perform. So that's kind of how Strike Club was born. And we're really, you know, we've been around for 4 years. You can find us on our direct-to-consumer site on strikeclub.com and also on Amazon. And we have two different cleansers. We have a moisturizer and wipes for that on-the-go clean. Because let's face it, a lot of those boy moms out there are going to identify with the fact that sometimes it's hard to get your son to wash his face. And you really do need to ask what they're doing, because sometimes you'll be surprised. I mean, even in my own clinic, and when I'm seeing patients who come in for acne, I'll ask them, what are you, you know, how are you washing your face? And they say, oh, just, you know, with whatever's in the shower. And I say, okay, well, what's in the shower? And they're like, oh, shampoo. So they're, you know, oftentimes the boys are using Pantene head to toe on their body. So just asking the questions and giving boys the tools that are easy, effective, and can be used on the go. That's really what our company is all about. A healthy lifestyle, easy, and something that doesn't look medicinal, something that's, we call locker room worthy. You know, you're not embarrassed. Let's give boys the tools they need to engage in self-care and change that conversation. Because I think it's really important for that population.
I agree. And they really, they need it, and they get embarrassed about it, and they get embarrassed to ask you about it. So, you know, when that puberty starts, when you start smelling, you know, that puppy dog smell that boys have.
Yes.
And that comes on really quickly.
Mm-hmm. You know. And boys care. You know, there's always a stigma about it, you know, that boys don't care. You shouldn't care. That's like not a masculine thing. But we really need, as moms and dads and family members, to really get in there, have the conversation, and change it. It is okay to care. It is okay to take control of your hygiene and your personal care. That's really important and a good lesson, I think, for us moms to instill, especially in our teen boys.
I totally agree. And strikeclub.com and Amazon is where you get it. And Strike is STRYKE.
That's right. Club. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. And I will Strike put Club. That in the show notes as
Thank
well.
Thank you.
So
yeah.
You can link and check out your products. So I really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. It just like, and I feel like we could have a whole second podcast about
we really could
this.
Yeah
and probably we should, because this is so valuable, so much great information for parents that have a hard time finding information mm-hmm. on skincare for their little ones. So I really appreciate you being here. If you would, you've given so much information. Is there one more piece of advice that you can offer our listeners that might help them with working with their child and their skin?
Absolutely. So you mentioned, Celia, I'm president of my National Society of Pediatric Dermatology this year. And one thing I've been trying to do is help to raise the visibility of our subspecialty, because I don't think parents realize that there is a whole field of pediatric dermatology experts out there who can help their children with skin conditions, whether they're common or really complex. So if moms and dads want more resources on pediatric dermatologists, how to find one in your community, please do go to that website, www.pedsderm.net. You'll find a lot of patient information handouts. We've worked really hard to make the website useful for families. So don't be shy. You can educate yourself. You can, you know, use all of the resources there. We would love to have, you know, more traffic and visibility on our site.
And Pedsderm is P-E-D-S-D-E-R-M.
Yes, pedsderm.net.
.net. Mm-hmm. Okay. So go to petesderm.net. And Sheila, it has just been, I should say Dr. Sheila, because you're a doctor. Dr. Sheila, it has just been a pleasure having you on. And thank you so much, because in just this short time, you've offered so much information that I know is going to directly, you know, help the people listening to this podcast. And for all of you, if you did get help from this, and I know you did, because I did, share this out. If you have friends that are struggling, I don't know how to get rid of the eczema. I don't know why she has a rash. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I'm using these essential oils and these people tell me it's working and it's not doing anything and my kids look worse. Share this out, because there is so much that we thought we knew that we now know we don't know. The good thing is I've been using Vaseline forever. My kids are in their 30s and 40s and you know,
you were clearly ahead of the curve.
Well, that was from my mother, because she was Vaseline. So, and probably that I didn't have all these other 9 million choices that people have today. So we, true. You know, I should call Vaseline so we could like show their product. Anyway, I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me.
Thank you so much for having me, Celia. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, good. Well, it was a pleasure. And to all of you parents out there, I hope this helped. I hope you found at least a few things out that you didn't know before. Reach out to Sheila. Go to
Pedsderm.net. Yeah.
Go to Pedsderm.net and get some information. And we're both very grateful for you taking time out of your busy schedules to hang out with us. If you love this, leave us a comment. And in the meantime, guys, as always, I wish you days filled with peace, love, tons of laughter. Really is the best medicine. You should laugh. Things are funny. Skin gets funny looking. Smearing on Vaseline, also funny. So enjoy the fun. Laugh more. And I'll see you here next time on the next episode of the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. Bye-bye, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. If you're really ready to start creating cooperation in your home, more listening, more joy, less stress, less yelling, less negotiating, and a whole lot less aggravation, then reach out to me and let's put a parenting system in place that works for you and your kids. Private and group coaching is available, and in 6 months or less, you will start seeing a much happier home that your children will blossom from instead of have to recover from. Get the manual that I wrote for your parenting journey, Raising Happy Toddlers, How to Build Great Parenting Skills, and Stop Yelling at Your Kids, along with my 3 children's books, All About Me, I Am Grateful, and Being Different is Fun. Find it all at pumpedupparenting.com.